Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Episode 75. Here we are. In the rec room again. Didn't I sound just so fucking happy to be doing this? Episode 75. Didn't sound very enthusiastic, did it?
Nope.
Thanks. But I am excited. I mean, 75 episodes. I mean, you know, for someone of my computer knowledge, that's quite a fucking feat.
Yeah, but you have a mechanism that does it all for you.
I still got to do some of the research. That's why this show, like all the other ones, are going to, you know, they're not going to be asshole deep in facts and all these little details. No, we're going to talk, a little bit, you know, about a little bit.
A little bit of nothing.
My Mosby Dreads, of course. Mrs. Dreads with me. Here. Night Living Dreads podcast. Night Living Dreads, noa.com. I mean, you don't put no A in. You know what? Oh, God. That was confusing.
Probably why no
people. No money.
Nobody ever goes there.
Oh, man. No, actually looking at our hosting site and whatnot, been getting a little bit higher than previously normal listens. They've gone up a little bit. Does that even make sense? Just talking about the numbers. Man, I'm not a numbers guy.
Apparently you're not a speech guy either.
I'm not a speaking guy either. Here I am. Okay. Right. After this, you may not want to listen on Spotify and Stitcher and nightlivingdreads.com. what is your deal? Somebody gave Mrs. Dredd some happy juice. Damn you, white coats! All right. And of course, we're over there on Facebook. Yeah. We got a group, got a page. Another group that we support because we don't support. I mean, we always support all of these other groups out there. As a matter of fact, one of the groups that we will show support with, not all the time on the podcast, but I think it's necessary tonight. And that would be Misfit Horror Fiend Club because their admin, their brainchild of that whole group, which I think is kick ass, especially if you like the Misfits and horror. Mr. Van Shane. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Van.
Happy fucking birthday, dude. And hippie bath day. He is probably off slamming some beers, some brewskis, hanging out, chilling out with his wife, Trisha. I haven't heard of any big plans. He has been on Facebook here a little recently, so I guess he's not doing much of anything. But hey, you can spend your birthday however you fucking want, man. I hope he has a great damn day. What is he about, like 48, 40? No.
I have no clue.
No, he's actually, I think he's actually younger than me, but
he's in his 30s, isn't he?
Who cares?
You brought it up.
I know. But also another group that we like to give a shout out to, and that is because of Mr. Don Skirl. Don Skirl, some of you may know, was, you know, on the podcast there for a little while, and then haunt season is creeping in, and he is also Chiller the Clown. So Chiller's got a Facebook group out there. Chiller Presents the Carnival of Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out. And
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it is pretty cool. Especially if you're terrified of clowns. Or you like
it. Or if you're in the whole haunt acting scene.
Yeah, exactly. That's where you want to go. Yep. Man, you're on point now after your little giggling session.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk here in just a few minutes because I do, as I think it's going off kind of well, getting kind of a strange, kind of funny, maybe not even horror related type, article, just to kind of loosen us up, loosen the listeners up, and then get into some, really more horror based type, type. Topics. I see there's them words are hard. Words are hard. I was just so taken back. I thought I heard something really weird in my headset. I'm not sure what it was. All right, let's just fuck this. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah. This article cracks me up.
A man on drugs. There you go, right there. It's going to be good. Arrested, it's getting better, for biting seagull, absolutely golden, after it tried to steal his Big Mac.
Big Mac.
Nobody better lay a finger on my
They said,
Big
who
Mac.
Ordered the McSeagull?
That's what this article says. It comes from the New York Post, nypost.com. Half of their shit's probably satire, but
it's still funny.
I don't even care at this point. It says a 26-year-old man claiming he was being attacked for his McDonald's meal, and in response, he grabbed the bird and bit it.
Yeah.
Because that's a normal response.
Well, no, he tells the police, I'm on drugs.
Yeah, right. He says, quote, this is a police spokesman, told the site Cornwall Live, because this took place in Cornwall, England. This is across the pond. This is not here in the States, although I guarantee you that's going to be a challenge here in the next week or so.
Yep.
Catch a bird and bite it.
Yeah.
Challenge. Quote, he sunk his teeth into it before throwing it to the floor. This is what this police spokesman told Cornwall Live, that site. Officers had seen the incident and immediately went over and detained and took details from the man. The man told police officers he was, quote, under the influence of drugs. And he was taken to a nearby hospital for treatment. The seagull was clearly injured by the incident, but flew off before we were able to check on its welfare, police rep said. We don't know what happened to it afterwards. Seagulls are, a final point of this. Seagulls are notoriously aggressive around food, but are protected by the Wildlife and Countryside Act of 1981. Apparently, that's a England thing.
Yeah, they are mean, though.
They are. They absolutely are. Used to go to Ocean City a lot out on the East Coast.
Yeah, and your mom liked to feed them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they come right down.
They dive bomb you.
They will. Yeah, they come. I have pictures of my mom feeding one right out of the air. It's coming down. My mom's holding something
up.
You hold
one little piece of food out to one, then you got 30.
Oh, I know. And you may miss a finger.
Yeah. Or an eye.
Or an eye. Yeah, an eye for an eye. I don't know.
An eye for a fry.
An eye for a fry. No, that is funny. Oh, my God. All right. With that, I want to encourage everyone to go check out TrueCrime7.store, TrueCrime7.com, which you'll hear in this, this lovely little ad. We'll be right back. If you're anything like me, you are a huge fan of true crime and dark humor merchandise. Otis B. Dredd's here to tell you about the best place to get all of your true crime and dark humor swag. Try truecrime7.store. True crime, spell out 7, SEVEN.store. The only place you need to go for true crime and dark humor. I'm going to tell you what, this place has some really great prices. You can't beat their prices. 30-day money-back guarantee if you are not happy, and I guarantee you will be. Free shipping on order, $75 and up. 24-hour online support. What kind of stuff can you get, Otis, you may be asking? You can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, pillows, and if you search for them over there on Amazon, you can also check out their reading material. That's right, they publish books as well. Stay up to date with all the new merchandise and great deals on all their products. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest info about new products. I'll tell you what, you are not going to regret going to truecrime7.store, and at the checkout, don't forget promo code NLD to get you a 10% discount on your entire order. That's right, truecrime7, SEVEN.store. Tell them Otis sent you. And remember, stay curious, keep it creepy, and don't get murdered. That's right. Don't get fucking murdered.
Nope. Try not to, at least.
Don't do that. Now, in that particular promo that I did for them, and kind of in payment, they, you know, set up a promo code for me, giving all of our, you know, listeners, as I mentioned, 10% off.
Mm-hmm.
They also have, at that time, I just mentioned truecrime7.store. Actually, truecrime7.com. You can go there and you can browse pretty much, you know, everything as well. So check out both of them. You want to say something? What? You look like you're itching to say something.
Mm-mm.
No? Okay. All right, we're talking about, we're going to be talking about Moundsville, West Virginia.
Yep.
What the fuck is in West, by God, Virginia, you may be asking? I'm going to tell you what's down there. Moundsville, or known as West Virginia Penitentiary.
Yep.
In Moundsville. How many times can I say Moundsville?
Yeah.
We're going for a record here. And why are we talking about this? Well, it is a, I wanted to kind of do something maybe a little, you know, on the side of, you know, paranormal. And those who, you know, have listened to the show and have listened to NLD Goes to the Movies knows of one Mr. Dominic, Dom, as we call him when he's on. He comes on, he does, you know, movie reviews with us. We usually, around this time of year, and we have in the past, not as much as I would have liked to, but we have in the past, you know, we've met up, he's not too far from us, and we go find some spooky fucking place, and we mm-hmm. stay the night for like 8 hours, and we got, you know, last time we had minimal camera and equipment, we did have numerous people, but this time, according to Dom, it's going to be like off the chain
mm-hmm.
type, you know, when it comes to equipment. So I'm really excited because we are planning a place to our brief look into Moundsville, West Virginia, and the mm-hmm. West Virginia Penitentiary.
See, then we can do, when we get back, do another show about it and let them know what we found.
Sure. Well, you know, a lot of this, as I mentioned, you know, I put out a little video on Facebook
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of letting people know what the hell was coming up and what was going on. And, you know, I kind of, you know, let people know that we're kind of working on maybe making this a little mini documentary once we get in there.
Have right.
some sit down interviews. Let's talk to people. Let's get a good understanding of the history as much as we can. And, you know, kind of do it that way. I've just always wanted to, you know, make a little documentary. And I think that we got enough people and we can do it cheap enough that, you know, be kind of cool. So don't want to give out too much. You know, I do want to come back and give an afterthought, you know, as far as our experience there. And we may be able to let a few cats out of the bag, but I think all the really big shit, if there is big shit to discuss, should be left on the back burner. What do you think?
I agree.
You know? But I would like to, you know, if we were able to find something that was maybe not explainable through logic and science and reason and, you know, nothing hocus pocus, just, you know, real concrete shit, then, yeah, I might be interested in talking about it. And I know probably some of the dreadheads would be interested. God, this is going to be hard. We're only fucking 15 minutes into it. Let's talk a little bit. I'm over here where I'm reading this from, and I think they actually took most of this from
Wiki,
because I'm seeing a lot of the same verbiage, almost to a plagiarism. but this is from WVPEN Tours, so West Virginia Pen Tours.com.
We never know that maybe where Wiki got a lot of its information.
That's absolutely, yeah, you're absolutely right. Maybe this is their, you know, shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go through a little bit that they have on their site, the actual penitentiary's site, where you can actually, you know, book just regular tours. You can do a overnight type investigation, which is what we usually do.
I mean, the pretty cool thing, though, is that if anybody gets a chance to do it, even if you just do a public tour, 9 times out of 10, they have those pretty cheap.
Oh, yeah.
So you can do a public tour for, I mean, sometimes $20, $25.
Sure.
You don't have to do a private tour. Private tours get a little more pricey, but, yeah. I mean, you can go and do a public tour for pretty much nothing. It's during the day. I mean,
you talk about an investigation or a tour?
Well, investigation is what we do, and they can be up there in the price.
They're a little pricey.
But yeah, you do tours, you go through and do a tour there. I mean, you learn a lot. They're interesting, and it's just neat to see all that history. And I mean, you get that feeling as if you were in there investigating, because even though it's light out and stuff, they're telling you these stories of stuff that's gone on, and you feel that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's neat just to go through and learn the history.
Absolutely, and especially if you have a really good tour guide. I mean, we've watched a few videos. Mm-hmm. This one guy, which I will post the link, because I think this guy does a really good job. He's, he's very in-depth, informative. Mm-hmm. He goes off the track a little bit as far as staying on what particular facts he's talking about, but he just gives you more facts. It's not like it's all nonsensical.
Right.
If you watch that, it was very intriguing. You can see, you know, it's, what do you say, it about a mile and a half of a walk.
Mile and a half to 2 miles.
To 2 miles of a walk that you will take during this, he said, normally about an hour and a half at the most tour.
Yeah.
Just taking you, but, you know, if you get an investigation, like you were saying, like we do, and you have a group of maybe 10, 12 people, you know, that overall price can be, you know, split up and divvied up. So it's really not that bad.
I understand that, but what I'm just saying is that if you want to go and do something.
I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah, I know that.
No, right. If you want to go do something cheap and still see the inside of it and get a history lesson, that's the way to do it. Yeah. Family-oriented tours, too.
You
can see kids and there's babies crying.
I wouldn't suggest taking a baby where you have to carry it everywhere, because you do walk up steps. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a hike. So,
yeah,
if at all possible, if they're old enough to understand, yeah, take them. If not, leave them home. They don't care.
They don't care. They're not going to remember this.
Yeah. They don't give a shit who was in prison.
Right. They just hope they don't. No, they don't know nothing. They don't know.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't give a shit about anything.
They don't give a shit about nothing. They want a titty. They want some peas. All right. From WVPenTours.com. A little bit of their history. The prison at, would you pronounce that Joliet?
Joliet.
Joliet. provided the prototype for the West Virginia Penitentiary. And this is, and the reason it did that is because, you know, it says it was an imposing stone structure fashioned in the, what is that? Castellated, I guess. I've never
Yeah,
I've
I think
never,
that's what
yeah.
that is.
Castellated Gothic architecture role style.
Well, because you look at it and it looks like a castle.
It looks like
it's
fucking castle.
Huge.
It's
huge.
It's imposing. It really is imposing. It's got Tourette's. No.
Tourette's. It's got Tourette's syndrome.
I know. I was working Tourette's. On that joke the whole Tourette's. Time. It's like, come on, yourself, you prick!
Oh, my
God. It's just prisoners standing up and screaming
Tourette's.
At people.
It is Tourette's.
No, it's Tourette's.
Tourette's.
Yeah, I guess it's
and battlements.
Person. Yeah, battlements, right?
Like a castle. Oh, right. Okay.
No architectural drawings of the West Virginia Penitentiary have been discovered, so an understanding of the plan developed by the board of directors must be obtained through their 1867 report, which details the procurement of a title. For 10 acres. I told you, this thing is massive.
Yeah. You think about this is on topic, but kind of, you read that last little bit it says on that first part, and it says that, like, the West Virginia facility, it differs because it's approximately only one half the size of Joliet.
The Joliet.
Could you imagine how big Joliet is then?
Right, I know. Oh, God. And purchasing, a title for 10 acres of land and a proposal to enclose about 7 acres of it.
Wow.
Enclosed. On the north side would be a street 60 feet in width. And on the west, 140 feet for street and yard to the front buildings. I mean, they got, this thing is mammoth. The prison, let's see. I want to see if I can find a actual.
A picture of it?
Well, no, just a size that they give.
Just 352 and a half feet in width.
Where is that?
682 and a half feet
yard,
in length.
Yeah.
And 352 and a half feet in width. Enclosed by a stone wall.
That's
5 feet.
That's just the yard.
Wow.
That's just the inside of the prison yard. Yeah. They were, this prison also had, you know, not such a good reputation. From everything I've looked into, some would, whether it be from the health department or whoever, would come to this prison while it was still operating and be like, this is the worst prison I have ever seen in my fucking life.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are, I mean, this is like damn near torture, you know, for one. I mean, this is, which we'll get into a little bit, but I mean, It was just horrible. All of the infractions.
Yeah, they said that there was what, rats the size of small cats.
The small cats, yeah, 3 to 4 inch size roaches. Yeah,
that you turn on in the mess hall. Remember, if you turn on the
right before you turned
on the light, that it was like there was.
It looked like water on the floor.
Yeah,
you could
moving,
just see
moving
the whole floor moving because
with
there were
the
like 4 inch fucking roaches.
Yuck. I remember the one who said that it wasn't uncommon for him to have to pick roaches out of the mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah, that was the one guy, the female guy, which he wasn't actually as enjoyable to listen to as the one I'm going to post in the description for the show here. But
she was, you think about it, though, she was a guard.
No, not that. That's not
I
the same
Meg.
Woman.
Yeah, it is.
That's not the same one.
I thought it was
I,
the same
I really one. Don't think it is. I did it first, but I don't think it is. But yeah, she mentioned that, you know, she was like, yeah, other than effing to, you know, pick out, you know, some roaches out of the mashed potatoes, the food wasn't that bad. And it's like, dude, how do you even say that all in the same sentence?
It's so gross.
Just pick out them 3 inch, that 3 inch you know, long fucking cockroach out of your mashed potatoes. It'll be fine. Other than that.
Yeah.
Other than that, everything is great.
Yeah.
So, they were actually featured in Time magazine.
Yeah.
This prison was. It says, unlike most of the people who previously walked through the gates of the West Virginia Penitentiary in Moundsville, you can be fairly certain you'll be walking out again a few hours later. The imposing Gothic structure was first opened in 1876, but closed in 1995. It's seen riots, fires, and the execution of nearly 100 prisoners, either through hanging or electrocution. What a shocking experience that must have been.
God, see what you did there.
You seen that. These days, the only things it sees are much better behaved visitors. You can take a tour on the grounds. See the rows of cramped 5x7 cells. 5-foot by 7-foot cells.
Yeah, and it said that sometimes it'd hold up to 3 people.
3 people, and they'd only have maybe sometimes. They may have a bunk. They may have a top and a lower bunk. Sometimes it'd be like, no, there'd be 2-3 people in one cell, and there's only one bed. Somebody
is sleeping on the floor.
Is sucking dick to get that.
Or sleeping on the floor.
Braver Souls, is the penitentiary, also offers midnight tours, followed by the chance to kick around inside the prison on your own until 6 a.m. Overnight visitors are allowed to bring their own food, so there's no need to trade your boyfriend for a Snickers bar. I did not make that up, man. That's exactly what that says. Am I lying?
No,
that's exactly what that says. And that's actually quote unquote. That's from the Time magazine feature. I thought that was kind of funny, though. That is kind of funny. Anyway, so we went through a little bit of there's some notable type, you know, situations.
There's a lot of crazy stuff that happened.
Lot of fucking crazy shit. Did we get how long old Red Snyder when he first got there? How long of a time did he do?
I cannot speak
right now.
Let me see if I can find it.
Anyway, while you're looking that up, I want to talk a little bit about the 1979 prison break. Reminds me of, I can't think of the damn band right now. Because as we mentioned before, there were prison breaks, there were riots, there were fires, murders, obviously. There was a lot of bad things that went down behind them walls. On Wednesday, 1979, November 7th, 15 prisoners escaped from that prison. One of the escapees was Ronald Turney Williams, no relation, serving time for murdering Sergeant David Lilly of the Beckley Police Department in 1975, May 12th to be exact. He managed to steal a prison guard service weapon in the escape. And upon reaching the streets of Moundsville, encountered 23-year-old off-duty West Virginia State Trooper Philip S. Kesner, who was driving past the prison with his wife. Kesner saw what the hell was going on, decided, you know, it's his duty. And, you know, he wanted to interject and take action.
Yep.
And that didn't work out too well. Prisoner pulled him from his car, and Williams shot him. Kesner returned fire at the fleeing suspects despite being mortally wounded. He remained at large for about 18 months. Mm-hmm. And he would do like what we talk about here a lot of times when we talk about serial killers. He would, you know, he would send like taunting letters to the police, like catch me if you can type shit, you know. It's like, oh. And he would do that. And he made the FBI's 10 most wanted list. During that time, he murdered a man by the name of John Bunchek in Scottsdale, Arizona, during a robbery, and was connected to crimes in Colorado and Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
This guy got around pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After a shootout with federal agents at the George Washington Hotel in New York City. New York City! In 1981, he was apprehended and returned to West Virginia to complete several life sentences. Arizona had sought his extradition for his execution, but as of the 15th of July, 2020, he remains in West Virginia custody.
Oh, wow. Well, they said that there are a few of them that are in the other prison that are still alive.
Yes, yeah, a lot of them when Moundsville, when West Virginia penitentiary shut down, I think you said 95.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the other prison.
Yeah, it's in these little notes that we got going on here. Let's talk about a riot.
Yeah.
That's always fun, huh? 1986, January 1st. And this is something like what TV shows and movies are fucking made of. Go ahead.
I mean, okay. The weird thing about this riot is it could have ended up a lot worse than what it is.
It really could have.
And what it was. Because, yeah. I mean, and it wasn't about anybody trying to escape. They were demanding things to be changed.
Sure. Yeah.
At the prison.
Absolutely. It was a way.
Better conditions.
Yeah, better conditions. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, there was thought going into it.
Right.
But on January 1st, ironically, okay, as everybody knows, that's New Year's Day. Okay, New Year's Eve, everybody's hungover. Story has it that a lot of these COs that would have been, patrolling or stationed in certain areas of the prison had caught off. They got a little hammered. And this riot is thought to be one of the most infamous riots in recent history. Prison riots, that is. they were trying to fix a lot of things going on there.
Right.
There was a lot of things bad. There was, bad ventilation, the food was down. I mean, just so much just horrible shit. Security was loose. Really, in all areas, especially that day,
mm-hmm.
Since it was a cons prison, most of the locks on the cell had been picked, and inmates roamed the halls freely. They picked their own fucking locks.
Right.
That's genius, though. Yeah, I mean, how do you do that?
They had been doing this.
Right, because there's a pretty extensive, well, maybe that, I mean, I think that was down more by the shoe in that tour that we saw where, there was like, they call it the slammer arm.
Yeah.
Which is where they got the term slammer from. So anyway, bad plumbing, there was, as we mentioned, insect problem, rat problems, a lot of diseases being spread around, mm-hmm. just due to the health issues,
Right.
It was holding more than 2,000 men. And crowding was also another issue that, insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
Another contribution to this riot was the fact that it was a holiday. Many of the officers called off work.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't make it. They had headaches. And the prisoners planned to conduct their uprising on this specific day.
Right.
That's genius.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it. around 5:30, p.m., 20 inmates known as a group called the Avengers. The Avengers. They stormed the mess hall where Captain Glassock and others were on duty. Within seconds, he, Captain Glassock, five other officers, and a food service worker were tackled and slammed to the floor. Inmates put knives to their throats and handcuffed them with their own handcuffs. That's pretty bad. That's, mm-hmm. that's talk about you know, spit in the face. Although several hostages were taken throughout the day, none of them were seriously injured.
Right.
However, over the course of the two-day upheaval, I think they said it was about, what, 52 hours?
Yeah.
One of the longest...
58 hours.
58, yeah, just about 2.5 days or so. Three inmates were killed for an assortment of reasons. The inmates who initiated the riot were not prepared to take charge of it. Danny Lehman, the Avengers president, was quickly agreed upon as the best suited for the task of negotiating with authorities and presented the demands to the medium. Medium. What are you thinking about, ghosts? Yet Lehman was not part of the 20 men who begun the riot. Governor Moore? Governor Moore, Jr., went to the penitentiary to talk with the inmates. The meeting set up a new list of rules and standards on which the prison was built. National and local news covered the story as well as the inmates meeting with Governor Moore. So that's pretty damn okay. And then turn around and, you know, I'm sure incurred more, you know, charges.
Oh, yeah.
But
they weren't doing it. I mean, they were doing it because they lived in shitty-ass conditions.
Right. You know, most of them got to be there for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fucking life sentences.
Yeah.
If we have to be here... Okay, can we at least make it livable?
Yeah.
You know? Fuck. And so they had the right to get that shit done. And they got it done.
Right.
They got it done. What do we know about old Red Snyder?
Oh,
He was one of the more... you know, kind of famous guys. He was head of, he was kind of the big dog when it came to the Aryan Brotherhood there. And there were some people who, well, when you're the top dog in a one of the largest gangs in this prison, you kind of, you put a target on your back.
Yeah. I didn't know. I thought he served a lot longer than what he actually served.
How long was he in prison?
He only served 32 months.
Wow. Yeah.
Out of a 2 to 20 year sentence.
Huh.
He only got 2 to 20 years for killing his parents.
Yeah.
He killed.
A boyfriend, his sister's boyfriend or something? Was that part of it? Or was that a different guy?
Try to see what it says.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say his dad and a neighbor.
His dad and a neighbor?
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, somebody else other than his mom, too. I don't even know if it was his mom.
Okay. Here it says.
We have the full story right here.
Yeah. It says it wasn't long because Red had been in prison before.
Okay.
So after him being released, he had found out that his 15-year-old sister was dating a neighbor boy.
Right, right.
A member of the Grog family.
Oh, man, we can't have that.
It said, on Friday, January 5th, 1968, Red planned and on exacting his revenge on this boy.
You can't have no Grog nasty all up in your family.
Brandishing a high-power rifle, he went into his father's bedroom in their home in the Dry Fork community and declared that he was going to get that Grog boy.
Click, click, boom.
When his father tried to stop him, Red shot him in the head and fled the house, hitting a mile up the road to the Frank Grog residence. Meanwhile, then one of his siblings called the police. When he got to Grog's residence, found out that the parents of him were not home. Wow. He said they returned shortly after to find that Red had their 8 children, aged 3 to 22,
held hostage at gunpoint. Yeah. Yeah, this guy wasn't a nice guy.
No.
And, you know, there is kind of a reason that, you know, I think we zero in on him. There were numerous other, you know, people that I think some may know.
Because he didn't.
Go ahead.
Because he didn't kill his sister's boyfriend. He killed his dad.
Right, right.
And then, because it says city, state, authority showed up, and when they did, he went running out of the house, shooting at the officers.
Guns ablaze.
Still only got 2 to 20.
Right. He had a good lawyer, apparently. Yeah. There's, you know,
quite the popular man.
He was, you know, and there's a reason that we just bring him up because, you know, I think his story is interesting.
Yeah,
that being part of his story, but how his days came to an end is, you know, just I guess kind of fitting.
Yeah,
for you know, this particular guy. But, you know, Red was not, I mean, there were numerous, you know, hardcore, as you can imagine, up 2,000 prisoners, the hardcore fucking people,
mm-hmm.
you know, guys and women.
They had a women block.
Eventually, yeah, I think they added that on later, you know, mm-hmm. after the prison opened. It was strictly just a male prison, but they did open a wing up for that. And one of the women that was there, and I just want to briefly mention this, I believe her name was Kathleen Maddox.
Yeah.
Kathy Maddox. And sure, a lot of you may not know exactly who that is. She had a son by the name of Charles Maddox, who, you know, eventually his name transformed.
He was adopted by his stepdad.
He was adopted, yes, by his future stepdad. And then, bam, becomes the one Charles Manson. That's right. Yep. His mom was in there along with his uncle, mm-hmm. her brother, for some armed robbery or some. She did a little time at this particular prison. Only about 8 miles or so up the road is where I believe it said that Uncle Jess, that Manson talks about living down in the hollers in West Virginia, and he had one of them long rifles. His family grew up about 8 to 10 miles from this prison. Yeah, right around in there. So I thought that was pretty pretty interesting as well. Now. A lot of deaths. Everybody says because we are getting to the point where, and I can't really speak a whole lot on is this place, you know, fucking haunted. We haven't been there yet,
right?
And even when we go, I mean, who's to say that I'm going to come away and think yes, it is? Maybe I do.
Because you think about it, because they talk about the stuff that it's going to be haunted with, and this Red guy, of course,
right?
Plus. You have over 100 men that were executed.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know, so much death and destruction. And from between 1899 and 1959, as you said, 94 men were executed.
Yeah.
Almost 100 people. Yeah. Hanging was the method of most executions until 1949.
Yeah.
With 85 men meeting that fate, there were stories. Here's one about a hanging. They got this guy, They got them up there, and before they could get the noose all the way around, I don't know if it was a malfunction or the lever was hit, the floor fucking drops. He falls through, smacks his head on the fucking concrete. They drag his blood, bleeding ass up there, slap the fucking noose around his neck, and then drop the floor again.
Yeah. And then the one where they said that his neck wasn't strong, so when they hung him and the floor dropped, his head popped off.
It pretty much, yeah. I mean, it was like gruesome. And this was where the public could literally go down.
Could you imagine?
And watch. And they had to stop public viewings of this because they did this and boop, you know, mama had a baby and its head popped off. You know? Gruesome fucking shit. See, you know, and as I was just mentioning, the public could attend the hangings, which were public until June 19th, 1931. On that date, Frank Heyer was executed for murdering his wife when the trap door beneath him was open and his full weight settled into the noose. He was instantly decapitated. Following this event, attendance at hangings was by invitation only. You had to be, it's like a VIP.
Well, that's how it is with most executions anyway.
True, yeah. The last man executed by hanging, Bud Peterson from Logan County, was buried in prison down the holler.
Yeah, because his family refused to claim his body.
Yeah, they had a an actual, you know, cemetery on site for those prisoners that, you know, either, you know, died in prison and didn't have any family, boom, they'd bury him right there. So there's a graveyard on site.
There was a Hillview, too.
Yes, there was, absolutely. Beginning in 1951, electrocution became the primary means, for the most part, of execution. The electric chair, nicknamed Old Sparky.
Yep.
Good Old Sparky.
That seems like a generic electrocution chair.
Old Sparky.
Yeah.
Oh, now Old Sparky.
Everybody probably uses that name.
Yeah, probably. It was used by the prison, and used by the prison was originally built by an inmate, Paul Glenn. An inmate built the electric chair that would
and then
fry.
Probably was electrocuted.
And then was probably fucking electrocuted. 9 men were electrocuted before the state prohibited capital punishment entirely in 1965. The original chair is actually on display.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it in that tour.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
What?
It'd be pretty cool.
It would be.
Because didn't they make that a chair for like somebody? Once it was outlawed and the prison was still open, wasn't that like where a garter, some sort of garter, something sat in a certain area? Yeah. Wouldn't it became like a guard chamber or something? I think it did.
Maybe it did. Maybe you should prepare better.
Hey, I knew that, didn't I?
Oh, man.
But, I mean, there's a lot of really neat and interesting stuff that happened there.
Yeah, and, you know, let's talk, you know, we mentioned briefly the fact that they had a cemetery on prison property. That was as horrible of a person as Red Snyder was.
Right.
I think some of the guards, the prisoners, they all took up kind of a little fund to try and raise money.
They did raise money to
make sure that he was actually buried in a
real cemetery.
In a real cemetery and not just thrown in the dirt on prison property.
Well, you figure, I mean, his name's William Red Snyder.
Right.
He was the leader of the Aryan Brotherhood of the prison.
So he's got that going for him.
They considered him the cock of the walk. Yeah, because he had respect of everybody.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he was hated by a lot of people because they wanted the position that he had.
They only hated him, right, because they were jealous of where he was.
And so that's where Elijah Sutton comes into play. He wanted to take over the Aryan Brotherhood. So they were letting the prisoners out to go to the rec yard. And Sutton had talked
Yeah, it
was Rusty.
Rusty into.
Into.
Because it was, I think it was Rusty and Red were getting paired up or whatever. They would take a certain amount of prisoners, well, inmates when, out for rec time.
Right. Well, they said that when they let him out, that Rusty walked in his direction with the three cells down.
Right.
And that's where.
Homemade shankaroo. Yeah,
over 30 times.
Yeah, they said upwards of like 37 fucking stab wounds. I mean, just.
They obliterated him.
And it, you know, it kind of comes down to, you know, and them two were good friends.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they were like best friends inside the joint. And, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, what would you do in that situation? If you're like, all right, it's either me or my best friend. I asked this to Bobby, the other day, and I liked his response. He was like, you know, I wouldn't kill my best friend. You know, I tell him, look, this is what's going on. There's a plot to fucking kill you. And, you know, I think we should team up together and fight it out. Fight it to the death.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and I agree with that, too.
Because you figure this is, I mean, how much power, nobody knows how much power this one guy actually had.
Right.
This Elijah guy.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so they ended up, like you said, raising money so he didn't have to be buried, because he was respected.
Yeah.
If not only by prisoners, he was also respected by guards and stuff.
Guards.
I mean, you hear in the one tour that we watched where one of the guards, she's talking, and she says that the experiences she's had there were that she was, that every morning that they would, like, they would just chat and stuff and talk about soap operas.
Right,
and
Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives was his favorite.
His favorite, and this particular CO. And, yeah, they would have just kind of, you know, little talks. She was like, he wasn't my friend, but, you know, we were friendly to each other.
And she said that after he had passed and everything, and she was doing a tour there and stuff. She said she was getting ready for one of the tours and stuff. And she said she went walking past his cell, and she heard him say, good morning, Meg.
Yeah.
And she said it made her stop in her tracks and stuff. And then she replied, good morning, Red.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and stuff. So, I mean, it's really fascinating.
It is. It is. And it's a cool story. And it's a story that a lot of people, I don't think, realize, you know, this place, this West Virginia penitentiary. Okay, you can, again, we can't talk too much about the possibility of it being haunted other than what we have seen, excuse me, in documentaries and whatnot. And that's all just kind of, you know, hit or miss any fucking way, because we haven't been there yet.
Right.
And hopefully we will be soon. But you see a lot of this prison and the stories and some movies were actually filmed at this particular prison. Here's a few. The Hulu original series, Castle Rock, that was based on Stephen King's work. It was filmed there. In the series, the penitentiary stands in as Shawshank Prison. Now, the Ohio State Reformatory, which is another one that I'd like to visit, in Mansfield, Ohio, was used for the 1994 movie, The Shawshank Redemption. The showrunners of Castle Rock instead chose the West Virginia Penitentiary because of their desire to make the town around Shawshank more visible. Let's see some other things. There's a prison scenes in the 2013 film Out of the Furnace were filmed on site at that penitentiary. Let's see here.
It was in Mindhunters.
No, what's that?
I was saying it's in Mindhunters.
Yeah, I was just getting ready. I'm sure, you know, there's some listeners that know the series Mindhunters. Or Mindhunter. Some of the external shots of the penitentiary were used in season 1, episode 9 of the Netflix original series Mindhunter. Let's see. Paranormal TV, haunted locations, their series of Most Terrifying Places in America, episode titled Cursed Towns. So it's been all over the place, and we probably and people probably have you know partake in you know these particular you know TV shows, have probably heard about it, seen about it, just really didn't pay much attention to it. If there's any gamers, this just caught my eye. Any gamers, the prison actually appears in a 2018 video game, Fallout 76, where it's known as the Eastern Regional Penitentiary.
Hmm.
So there you have that. So it's pretty, pretty cool.
Right.
It's been all over the place. Of course, the history of this place goes way deeper than any of you should expect you'll get from us.
Right. Check it out yourself.
Check it out your damn self. Because I'm about out of gas and I gotta use the restroom. That's how that shit works. But
back to the cell you go.
Back to the cell I go. Hot ass damn cell. All right, episode 75 in the bag. Thank you, Mr. Drudge.
You're welcome.
And we will talk to you here this weekend.
Oh, yeah, they're going to send you to the Sugar Shack.
The show. Oh, you didn't even bring it up. If you see a faded sign at the sign. All right, get the fuck out of here. We'll talk to you this weekend when NLD goes to the movies. NightLivingDreads.com. NightLivingDreads on Facebook. Spotify. Stitcher. Good night.
No one knows. We're going to die.